Karen mentioned earlier in our prayer time the concert last night, and for those that were there, it really was a wonderful time. So I want to thank our choir and Jeff Davis, our music director, put in a lot of time on that, along with other choirs from St. Mark's Catholic Parish, King of Glory Lutheran, and of course our church,
Holy Apostles.
They had a choir there too. Bishop Kelly Choir, kids from St. Mark's School. It did prove that Protestants and Catholics can at least sing together, and it was beautiful. So. I got to brag on Jeff a little bit because he never does. Jeff wrote the music for our choir. The two anthems that they presented were his original compositions set to some traditional words. It was a great blessing. So we come today to John the Baptist. Traditionally, on the second Sunday of Advent, following the text of the common lectionary, you get John the Baptist on week two. John the Baptist has one primary message. He relentlessly points to Jesus Christ. He says, "The one who is coming is mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes." And John said the way to get ready for his arrival is to repent. The kingdom of God, he said, is at hand. And in this way, John's preaching was very similar to the preaching of Jesus. When Jesus begins his public ministry, the very first words out of his mouth, he said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." John said, preparing the way for Jesus, said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So, let's listen to John once again. Oh, but before we do, I know I tell this joke every year, but I can't be stopped. What do John the Baptist and Kermit the Frog have in common? Same middle name. And Winnie the Pooh also, yes. Okay, we'll see if we can redeem that moment. Hear now the word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 3 and verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, John said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, your word is truth. Open up our hearts now and plant your word deep within us so that we might be transformed to be more like Jesus, your living word, in whose name we pray. Amen. There is a song that was very significant to my parents' generation, a Christmas song, and you know it. I'm not going to attempt to sing it. You didn't come to church to have your ears assaulted in that way, but you know the words. I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. There'll be snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. That part has always baffled me. Presents don't go on the tree, they go under the tree. Nonetheless, Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. You know how it ends. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. If you were to go home for Christmas, where would you go? Where would that be? Who would be there? You know, it doesn't matter where you go in life, you can never escape the longing for home. At some point in life, all of us left home, and in a way, we never really recovered. Even if you stay in the same community where you were raised, you're really not home because, well, that community changed, didn't it? Sometimes some people wanted to leave home because home wasn't a good place. Or maybe home left you. Either way, you've got the same longing as everybody else. I think that that's something that God built into us because we lost our true home. The Bible says we lost our true home. God created us to live with Him as our Heavenly Father in a relationship of love and trust, in a place of beauty and unity. And we lost that when we rebelled against God and we sinfully turned our backs on God and we went our own way. And we lost Eden. But the gospel, the good news, well, you can really sum it up by saying that God, well, somebody put it this way. God left His home to come to our home, to take our place, so that we might go back to His place, to His home. God has made the way for us to get home. And the good news gets even better. We don't even need to seek it, because God has come to us. The Bible is not about our seeking God. The Bible is about God coming to us. Biblical faith is not about the human search for God. It's about God coming to us. Matthew says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And when Matthew thought about, when other New Testament writers thought about John the Baptist, they thought about that text from Isaiah that says, "Prepare the way of the Lord." It's in Isaiah 40. "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." John was not telling people how to find God. He was warning people, God is coming. God is on the way. Get ready. Because the king is coming. And he's coming to judge. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. John said, even now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. And by the way, all you religious folks, don't you dare presume that being a child of Abraham or a Presbyterian makes you something special before God. God can take every rock in this park and turn it into a Presbyterian. Even now, he said, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. And every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is going to be cut down. So, he said, get ready. Once again, this is not about, okay, here's how you find God, people. No, God is coming, whether you like it or not. Get ready. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the kingdom of heaven is the Bible's way of saying being at home with God. But when the Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven, it's not talking about heaven way off by and by someplace when we die. Remember, Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is not just heaven. It is that, praise God. The kingdom of heaven is where the king reigns, which is everywhere where his people are. John gives us a challenge. He says, repent. And repent, as you know, means turn around, change your mind. You've been moving away from God. You've been going your own selfish, self-directed way. Turn toward God and be ready to meet him, because he's coming. Now, we have some very serious problems with repentance. We are preoccupied with what matters to us. John the Baptist is preoccupied with what matters to God. We want God's comfort. John the Baptist wants God's righteousness and God's glory. We want blessing. John calls us to repent. We want our sins overlooked. John wants them confessed, cleansed away, forgiven. We want control. John calls us to obedience. We're impressed with ourselves. John is only impressed by the one who is coming. And that's all he can do. I love what my favorite Bible teacher, Dale Bruner, likes to say, that John the Baptist is just like he's like a bony finger, and he's all gnarled, and the nail is all broken and got dirt under the fingernail. But all that finger does is point at Jesus Christ and say, he's coming. Get ready. But I still have a problem with repentance. Here's my problem with repentance. Repentance, if you think about it for a minute, would imply that I've done something wrong. It would imply that my life has been moving in my own self-serving direction. It would imply that I've grown comfortable with my sins. But that doesn't apply to me. So, you're supposed to laugh when I say that because that's not true. See, this is my problem with repentance. It really couldn't apply to us church people, could it? I mean, John's talking about people out there somewhere. I can see them right over there. They're at that shopping center right now. They're not in church. They need to repent. And they need to do it quick. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we are the sons of Abraham. God can take every rock in this park and turn it into a child of Abraham or a Presbyterian or a Baptist or whatever he wants. I think this is part of the reason that John chose to do his ministry. God called John to do his ministry in the wilderness and not in the city of Jerusalem. Because when you get out of the city and you get out there in the boondocks, it has a great leveling effect. You're away from power. You're away from all of the church buildings and the temple. In the wilderness, we are all out of our element out there in the great outdoors. Everyone is far away from the phony status games of the city. In the wilderness, the faithful and the failures stand side by side. The Presbyterians and the prostitutes rub elbows. Out there in the wilderness, it was much harder to pretend that John was talking about somebody other than you. No, he's talking directly to you, and there's no place to hide. He's saying that you've wandered farther and farther from your father's house, and you're completely lost, and you know it. So stop. Turn. Repent. Repent of your sins and get ready, because God has never forgotten you. And he's coming. He's very near right now. If you think about it for a minute, God's call to repent is a very great compliment to us. We don't tend to see it that way because at first we're offended by it, but we're wrong. The call to repent means that God cares very deeply about our lives. God cares very deeply about the direction of our lives. God cares very much about our rebellion against him, our moving away from him. God loves us. And God wants us to turn and come home. But it's a thing about God. You're familiar with the therapeutic term of codependence. You know what it means to be codependent. The codependent parent will follow their rebellious child out the door and wherever they go and try to clean up the mess behind them. Right? And we know that doesn't work. There's something about God. He's never been codependent. God loves. But God will let us go our own way. But what a compliment that we're called to repent. We matter to God. He loves us and wants us to come home. He wants us to have the abundant life that only comes from knowing Him. God so desires that we come home that God left His home in heaven, humbled Himself, and came among us as an infant in Mary's arms. And later, she would hold His lifeless body again when they lowered Him off a Roman cross. And He said He went to that cross in order to prepare a place for us in the Father's house. Remember that? Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you." Now, I used to hear that verse, and you hear that verse at every Christian funeral service, and rightly so. I used to hear that verse and think it was talking about some kind of heavenly interior decorating. I go to prepare a place for you. Like, what does He do? Does He make the bed? Maybe some flowers in a vase? No. When Jesus made that promise, it was right before Good Friday. He said, "In my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you." He was talking about the cross. "I'm going to the cross to make a place for you in my Father's house. I'm going to the cross to carry your sin that would separate you from the Father. I'm going to the cross to make the way so that you can come home to the Father." How much does God want you to come home? Jesus told a story about a young man who ran away from his father's home. And a preacher named John Killinger retold it for Christmas, and I'm borrowing it from him. There was a certain man who had two sons, and it was right before Christmas, and the younger son said to his dad, "Dad, I'd like to have my Christmas presents now. This house is boring and you are boring, and I want to go where I can really live." And so the father went to the closet and pulled out the Christmas presents and gave them to his son, and the son took off. And he went into the city, and where he proceeded to find the hardiest partiers in the city and joined the party. And for a while that party was really fun, and he began to run out of money, so he hawked his father's gifts. But that money soon ran out. And suddenly he found, when he was flat broke, all the doors were closed to him. And the party was over. In desperation, he went out and he got a job washing dishes in a cheap cafe. And he was so hungry that he was eating scraps off the plates that he was cleaning. And no one said as much as a kind word to him. Finally, on the day before Christmas, he came to his senses and he said, "You know, back home in my father's house, my dad will have employees over to dinner for a steaming meal at my mother's table. And here I am stuck eating garbage. So, well, I'll go home. And I'll say, Dad, you were right, and I was wrong. And I don't deserve to be a part of this family anymore. But if you'll take me back, I'll work as an employee." So he turned in his apron and he collected the few dollars that he had coming to him. And he went to the bus station and he rode all night. And he was sleeplessly rehearsing over and over again the speech that he was going to give. "Dad, you were right, and I was wrong. Dad, you were right, and I was wrong. Well, at dawn on Christmas Day, the bus pulled into the little hometown, and he tumbled off the bus, wrinkled and unshaven, and worried about how it would be. And then he heard a voice, "Son!" And there was his father. But Dad, how did you know?" And the station agent said, "What do you mean, how did he know? He's been here every day, two or three times a day, waiting for you to come home." "Dad," said the boy, "you were right, son." And he put his arms around him and hugged his neck and said, "Come, let's go home." At home, he called for his wife and anybody else in the house. And he said, "Look who's here." And he brought out presents and he laid them before his son. There was a beautiful brand new bathrobe and a nice pair of leather slippers and a gleaming ring that he put on his son's finger. And here, he said, putting the ring on his son's hand, and he said, "Go upstairs, take a nice hot shower, put on this robe and these slippers and come down, and we'll have a really nice visit." And he said to his wife, "Hey, honey, let's get that prime rib roast out of the freezer, because we need to have a special meal. Our son was lost and he's found. He's come home." Now, you know, that's not the end of the story. There's another son. The straight arrow son who stayed home and worked hard. He's outside. He won't come in because he thinks his no good rebel of a brother is the only one who needs to repent, and he probably hasn't done enough of it yet. The older brother is so close to the house, but he's outside. And he won't really come home until he accepts the fact that repentance is not just for somebody else. "Prepare the way of the Lord," said John. "Make his paths straight. Repent and believe the good news." Let's pray. Oh God, deliver us from the illusion that we have no need of repentance. We are, every one of us, a rebel child who's turned away from your house and gone our own way. We can do it, Lord. We can rebel against you and sit in church at the same time. And we know it. Overwhelm our stubborn hearts, O God, with your love and grace, so that we also would hear dear old John's word that comes straight from you. Repent. Do not presume on your religious credentials, but repent and come home. And we thank you, our Father, for the embrace and the welcome that is always waiting. And I pray for each one here that we would come home to you. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.